Well, I debated actually whether I should preach an extra amount of time or sing a special. So I thought that if I preach the extra time, that would be difficult. But if I sing a special, that would be very hard on your ears. So I won't do that to you today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the scripture found in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 reads, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid of what mere mortals can do to me.'" Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful today for the privileges and hours of being in your house again. We're thankful for this thy people and for those who have come out today. We just pray that your presence and your power and your love, God, would be upon us in a very special way in today's service. Pray that you would bless those who could not be here today because of illness, because they have lost someone in their family. We all have problems. We all have difficulties, God. But we pray that our faith, Lord, would ever be in you, that we would never forget, Lord, that wherever we go, that your presence and your power and your love is there. Bless us in a very special way. Bless me as I shall speak. Bless these people as they shall listen. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Now, the book of Hebrews was written in approximately the year 60 A.D. And we're not exactly sure who the author was, who the human author was. Of course, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Many Bible scholars believe it was the Apostle Paul. Some think it was Barnabas. And some think it was one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. It likely was the Apostle Paul because it contains his style of writing. But whoever wrote the book, and God inspired them to do it, as I said, they wrote because the times in which it was written were very uncertain. They did not know what was going to happen, and they were very concerned and very distressed about what the future held. They were concerned about the economy, first of all, their finances. And of course, we're all concerned about this. But they were very dependent, for instance, the nation of Israel and much of the world in those days, or a large population of the world, was dependent upon the weather. And if they had years of drought, etc., their entire economy suffered. People did not have sufficient food in which to eat. And so they were naturally concerned about their economy. They were also concerned about the government because they were still under Rome's domination. Rome could make laws, and of course, Rome heavily taxed all their provinces, including the nation of Israel. They had to pay taxation to Rome, even though they did not have any say in the Roman government whatsoever. So they had taxation without representation, and they did not like that. Also, they were concerned because of the potential of persecution. A Christian in those days, and it occurred for many years, they could be arrested without any due process of law. They could be taken to jail, their property confiscated, and many times they were put to death simply because of their faith. Of course, the church for the first 300 years suffered a lot of persecution. It was very difficult for them. But even though the church suffered persecution, it was a very strong church. And that's the irony of it. It seems that people in times of prosperity, sometimes they have a tendency to forget about God and His blessings. But in times of duress, in times of difficulty, it seems that many times that people draw closer to God and the church and people of God are stronger indeed. But the writer here tells them not to be distressed, to have faith, to have courage, because God is very concerned about their situation. And he writes, he says, "God has said, 'I will never leave you, I will not forsake you.' So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid of what mere mortals can do to you. Now, I think that that is a message that we need to hear today, because we live in uncertain times in many ways. We're not sure what's going to happen politically in a couple of weeks. We don't know what is going to happen. We don't know about the future of our economy. We don't know what's going to happen in the world. And of course, there's always threats of attacks from ISIS and people like this. And we know that we're not immune right here in America. But regardless of what happens in any of these areas, we know that God is in control. He will not leave us, and He will not forsake us. Regardless of what happens politically, regardless of who is elected president, the new president, in just a couple of weeks from now, 2.5 weeks or so from right now, God will still be on the throne. It doesn't matter who that person's, what the party is, what their political agenda is, if it's liberal or conservative. It doesn't matter who they appoint to the Supreme Court. It doesn't matter who they appoint as their cabinet members. We know that God is still in control. God will still be with us. And God is not going to forsake us regardless of what happens. And certainly, God is a God of love. God is a God of mercy. And when we have needs, when we have problems, we can be assured that God is on the throne. He's aware of our situations. And if we'll call upon Him, He will give us faith. He will give us confidence. He will assure us of His blessedness and His love. So again, He says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you indeed. So we can say with confidence that the omnipotent, the omniscient, the omnipresent God will always be there. Our first point is this: we can feel secure because we will always have God's presence indeed. Now again, we don't know what is going to happen in the coming months and the coming years ahead. We simply don't know. But we know that we will have the presence of God regardless. You know, the Bible asks this question. It says, can a mother forget their child? Or can a parent forget their offspring? And it says, basically, they cannot. And most parents, certainly it would be a very poor parent who forgot about their child. But in some cases, that can happen, the Bible says. And it does happen, we know. Children are not wanted. But He says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, I will always be there, regardless of our situation of life. Now the book of Joshua, chapter 1 and verse 9, I've always liked the book of Joshua, but it starts out, God saying to Joshua this: be strong and be courageous, do not be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord God, will be with you wherever you go. Now, Joshua faced a very difficult situation. It was a period of uncertainty for him and for all of Israel. Because, first of all, Moses, their leader up to this point, was now dead. And they were about to enter the Promised Land. They were about to go into Canaan. And that proved to be, you know, a difficult challenge for them, because The country contained walled cities, fierce-like people, giants, literal giants were there. And though it was a land of plenty, though it was a land flowing with milk and honey, there were a lot of problems there. And I'm sure that Joshua was very concerned. But God said to him, I will be with you. Don't worry, don't be so concerned that you fall apart. Remember that I am on the throne and I will be with you. I have brought you thus far and I will continue to be with you on into the Promised Land. You know, that is true for us. Don't sometimes we forget, particularly when we're undergoing stress or problems or difficulties, don't we forget about the presence of God? But God is with us when things are going smooth, when things are going easy for us. But God is also on the throne. God is still there with us. He loves us just as much when difficult times come indeed. So we need to be reminded sometimes of God's presence indeed. You know, the Bible says, where shall I go from your presence? He said, if I go up to the highest heaven, you're certainly there. If I were to go to the midst of hell, you're there. You're here on this earth. I can't escape your presence. So wherever we go, wherever we are, God is there. Let's remember that indeed. Psalms 46 and 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. So if we're having times of trouble, if we're having times of uncertainty, God is always present. Second of all, we can feel secure because, not only because of God's presence, but because of His promises to us. And you know, there are many promises that the Bible makes to the children of God. He promises to be with us during our battles. He promises to help us during our times of burden in our life. And He says this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. So whatever situations that we face, that they may be difficult, they may seem very large to us, but they're very small to God, and God's presence and God's promises are always there to help us indeed. Now, the Lord says this, fear not because I am with you. Be not dismayed because I am your God. I will be with you. I will help you. I will uphold you by my right hand. So God has made many promises throughout the Bible. And you know, a promise is only as good as one who makes it. Let's remember that. You know, if somebody promises you something, you know, even though they may mean well when they promise, they have every intention of keeping that promise, sometimes people don't keep their promises to us because they cannot do it. They cannot deliver. Have you ever gotten a promise from a company or something like that, that there was a warranty on this product? Well, it's only as good as the company, because then if you read, in some cases, that company has gone out of business and your warranty is no longer good. Has that ever happened to you? It happened with a product that I bought several years ago. They said, well, I'm sorry, that company has gone out of business and your product is no longer under that warranty. They made a promise that they could not keep. But you know, God has made many promises to us, and the wonderful thing about them is that He has the power, He has the ability. It's because He has promised that we can always rely upon Him. We should feel secure because we're the recipient of so many of His promises to care for us and love us. Thirdly, we can feel secure in times of uncertainty because of His protection as well. He is our shield. He is our protection. We're protected from sin. We're protected from temptation. The Bible says, there's no temptation that's taken you except that which is common to man, but with the temptation I will provide a way for you to escape that you might bear it. You know, we have a very powerful enemy that's against us. Don't ever be guilty of diminishing Satan's power, but let's remember, greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. So we can feel secure in our life because of Jesus' promises, because of His presence, and because of His protection indeed. Now, you know, it's the nature of an animal to protect their offspring, is it not? I once had an insurance debit, and I used to go to this lady's house quite frequently. That's what you did in those days, and you sold insurance, but you also collected from them a certain amount of people that did not mail it in. But I went to her house quite frequently. And one day, I'd been to her house several times, and her dogs always seemed not exactly friendly, but was not dangerous either. But one day, I was walking up in her yard, and her dog just zoomed out from the side and just bit me right on the foot. And I couldn't hardly believe it. And I said to the lady, I said, your dog bit me. And I said, that dog has always been kind of friendly, but I said, today she bit me. And she said, she's had puppies just recently, and she was just protecting her young. So it's natural for an animal to protect their offspring. It's natural for a parent to protect their child. Is it not even more natural? Can we not depend upon the protection of God Himself, that He'll always be with us? He'll always provide for us indeed. So let's feel secure because of God's presence, because of His promises, because of His protection. Thirdly, because of God's presence and promises and protection, we can live a life of contentment. We can live a life of contentment. Point number two, we can live a life of contentment. Now, let's remember this, that Peace of mind and satisfaction is something that a lot of people in this world do not have. Because they trust in the things of the world, they don't have the sort of peace, they don't have the peace of mind, they don't have the comfort, that sense of security that they need to have. And let's remember this, the Bible says this, keep your lives free from the love of money, because this actually means, and it goes on to say, but be content with the things that you have, because God has said, I will never leave you and I'll not forsake you, indeed. So contentment, so peace of mind, so real security comes only when we serve God and are living the way that God would have us to. And you know, many things happen in life that we cannot predict. I would not have thought that the world would have gone as far away from God, our society would have gotten as far away from God as it has in my lifetime. Now, people, as I've said before, have not always been Christians. They've not always served God. They've not always honored God. But I can say that things are getting worse and worse and worse. And it's only during those times that we must realize that we can depend upon God indeed. And you know, we have so much in our world today, but in spite of the fact that we enjoy a very high standard of living, and we do enjoy a high standard of living, and we ought to appreciate that. And I know that other countries of the world, including Japan and China and Russia, they have made advances and so forth, but we still, overall, our society enjoys a higher standard of living than anybody in the world, and probably anybody that's ever existed in the world. By and large, the general population enjoys a higher standard of living. Now, you would think with that high standard of living, with our disposable income, our political freedoms, the things that we have, the things that we can buy, the things that we enjoy, and all the modern day conveniences, that it would bring peace of mind, that it would bring contentment to people's hearts, but that is not true indeed. Instead, people are very discontented and very dissatisfied today. Someone has written a little poem that says this, as a rule, many people are fools because when it's hot, they want it cool. When it's cool, they want it hot, always wanting what is not. You ever known anybody like this? Boy, it sure is hot today. I wish we'd get cool weather. Boy, it's cool today. I wish it would warm up. And we've all been guilty of that. I've been right there. You know, we've all done that. Or when this happens, you know, I wish that would happen, and so forth. A lot of dissatisfaction, a lot of discontentment when we ought to be looking to the Lord. It's kind of like a man once who worked with someone else, and this man became dissatisfied with a house that he lived in. And the reason that he was dissatisfied, the reason that he was discontented with his house was because he worked with a person that had a house that was seemed to be better than his. And his co-worker enjoyed his house, and this man was very discontented, so he put his house on the market. He said, I'll just sell this house, and I'll buy myself another house that will meet my needs, that will meet all the things that I want in my house. So he put his house on the market. And a few weeks later, he saw an ad in the paper, and it described a house, and he said, man, they lied. This is the house that I've just got to have. Boy, it has all the features that I want. If I lived there, I would be very, very happy. So he called up his real estate agent, and he said, that house that you have in the paper, you've advertised in the paper, he said, I would like to see it as soon as possible because I want to buy that house. And the real estate agent said, sir, but that's the house. That's your house that's listed there in the paper. And you know, sometimes we're dissatisfied with the things that we have. But the reason that we're dissatisfied is simply this. The reason that a lot of people in society are dissatisfied is simply this. They've sought their contentment in the things of this world when they cannot satisfy indeed. Material things do not satisfy. They're not long-lasting. They do not give peace of mind. They do not give tranquility in our lives. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So what it's saying basically is this: don't seek for contentment in the things of this life. Instead, seek contentment from the Lord, because it's only Him, in Him, that you will find it indeed. Jesus said this. He's promised that He'd be with us. He's promised that He'll satisfy our needs. He's promised us contentment of heart. And it doesn't matter what our situation is. Philippians 4:11 says this: I have learned to be content whatever circumstances that I face. If I happen to be in need or I happen to have plenty, I've learned the secret of being content, because God is with me in every situation that I face. So let's remember this. It's not what we have, it's whose we are. It's who we serve, it's who we love, it's the things that we put first and foremost. And the things of the world cannot bring peace and contentment, but the things of God, the presence of God, the presence of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ can bring us peace and contentment and satisfaction and life and real joy indeed. Second of all, because of the Lord's presence, not only can we have contentment, we can also be courageous. Now, you know, sometimes Christians are overcome with fear. We really are afraid of what's out there. We're afraid of what we're going to have to face. But did you know that over 300 times, as a matter of fact, 365 times, someone has counted it, God has said in the Bible, fear not, one for every day of the week, every day of the year, I should say. God has said, don't fear. And He says right here, don't fear, because I'm with you, because I am present, because I am there, and so forth. And you know, oftentimes we think our fears and the problems that we face are so great that they cannot be overcome, that these are impossible, but nothing is impossible with God. And if we had to face them by ourselves, if we had to face in our own strength and our own abilities, our own power, we should be afraid. But the good thing to know, and the blessing thing to know, is this: that we don't have to face them alone. God is there with us, and His power is greater than anything that we'll face indeed. The Lord says, call upon Me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. So we can't be expected to be courageous or have courage in our own strength, but we can certainly do it when we rely upon the power of God. And sometimes our fears almost paralyze us. We're afraid to act. We're afraid to move forward. We're afraid to do something. And fear has stopped us from doing some good things in our life. Fear is, certainly we're to respect fear, and God has given us a natural sense of fear. But if we fear God, as the saying is, we have nothing else to fear. So let's don't give in to our fears. Instead, let's depend upon the presence of God, because He is greater, He is more powerful than anything that we'll ever face in our life indeed. So confidence comes, and courage comes, not because we trust our power or our ability and our strength, but because we rely upon God and what He will do for us indeed. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So he was a very courageous person. Now, was he saying, when he had this kind of courage to say that I can do all things, did he say that I can do it because, I'm not afraid of anything because of my education and background? And by the way, Paul was a very educated person. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, who was considered one of the greatest minds of all times. Paul sat at his feet and learned for many years. He was a student of the Old Testament. He was one of the most highly educated men of his days. That's why that God allowed him to speak before kings and rulers and all these other things, because he was so highly educated. And he had courage, but not because of his education, and not because of his background, or not because of his intelligence, his natural intelligence. And he was a naturally intelligent person. But why did he have courage? Because he knew that God was there with him. And we can be courageous for the same thing. As we face the future, and I don't know what kind of problems you have today, And I know that we all have problems, but I know that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world, and God's power and God's ability is far greater than whatever you face, no matter how big it may seem in your life. Paul had confidence in the Philippian jail in Acts 15. He was on his second missionary journey, he and Silas. They were arrested. They were taken to jail. They were beaten, severely beaten, by the way, and their wounds and so forth were very severe. But the Bible says he had such courage, he had such confidence in the presence of God that they sang songs of praise to God at midnight. And God sent a great revival in which everybody in that jail was saved. He was very courageous. He was very confident because he knew that the Lord was there. During the latter part of his ministry, when he was sailing to Rome on a ship, a storm came up in the midst of the Mediterranean Sea, and everybody had given up that the ship was going to be lost. But Paul had confidence, and he got up during the middle of the storm, and he said this. He said, "The Lord has appeared to me and said to me that no one of this ship will perish, and I believe God that it will be even as he has told me." So he said, "You know, I can be confident because God is with me, because God's power, because of God's love, because of his presence, because of his promises to me, I will be very confident." And we can be confident in any situation of life because we were the recipient of God's love and God's presence in our life. We could say that Paul had total confidence in God. He had confidence that his past was forgiven, and he had a very difficult past. He had a very sinful past. And we all have checkered passes to some degree, but he certainly had a very checkered past, a very difficult past, a very sinful past, in which he had persecuted the church and been consenting to the death of many Christians. But he knew that he was very confident because he knew that God had forgiven his past. His sins were under the blood of Jesus Christ, and that gave him confidence. He had confidence for the present because he knew that wherever he went, wherever his journeys took him, serving God, that God would always be there preparing the way, that he would be present with him there in the Philippian jail in this time of storm, whatever, when he was speaking before a king, he was very confident. He had confidence in the future because he knew that God would walk with him every step of the way of his life, and he had confidence in his eternal future. He said this, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, and not for me only, but to all those who love his appearing." Can we say that with confidence today? Let's don't ever forget that whatever we face, whatever the world faces, whatever society presents to us, in any area of our life, God is much greater than any of those things. In the third part of the message today, or look on the overhead if you would, let's repeat from our hearts. Let's remember that God is speaking this to us personally. God is saying this to you and to me. So let's repeat those words if you would. If you see them there on the overhead. Because God has said, "I will never, never, never leave you." And by the way, you say, "Well, the Bible only says one never." Did you know the way the way the New Testament was written, that's the emphasis right there? It wasn't just one, it was three. "I will never, never leave you." Number two, because God has said, "I will never, never, never forsake you." Because God walks with us, we can say with confidence, "I will not be afraid of what mere mortals will do to me." Do you believe that in your heart? Amen. If you do, say amen. If you do, say, "Praise the Lord."
Praise the Lord.
All right, okay. Because God's presence and God's power and God's promises to us, we can live a life of faith, we can live a life of confidence, we can live a life that God wants us to live. Let us pray. Our Father, we love you today. We thank you for all blessings. We know that whatever happens, God, you are there with us. We can depend upon you. We pray that we would feel secure, that we would feel confident, that we would have a sense of of contentment, Lord, and courage, because you are there, Lord, and because you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. Bless in every way, we ask in the name of our Lord. Amen. Brother Ken.